part of human life, human experience. It's a problem for all of us. It's man's oldest problem. We've had temptation in the world ever since Adam and Eve. And temptation has many faces about it. There can be material temptations. It's a lust for things. It could be as big as a house or as small as a ring. It might be bright and dazzling as a new car, or it might be an old antique and you're tempted to do something wrong to get them, a shady business deal, cheating on your taxes or whatever, but you've got a material temptation. And then there can be personal temptations, which can be the lust for a name or for authority or for power or control over others. It can be boiled down to little things such as a lust for a title, vice president, professor so-and-so, doctor so-and-so. And there's nothing wrong with those titles or positions until you get a wrong desire and you decide to try to achieve that in a wrong way. And you have the attitude that you deserve it. Or there can be sensual temptations, the lust for another person, and you desire to have them and to enjoy them in a way that's not legally or morally right. And so you're tempted to become involved in an affair. But we all struggle with temptation. I've got a letter here. I want you to listen to this letter. I'm just going to read a little portion of it. I want you to see if you can identify with this writer's struggle with temptation. He said, "I'm so full of myself. What I don't understand about myself is I decide one way, but end up acting another way, doing the things I absolutely despise. I can't be trusted to figure out what's the best for myself and do it. I need something more. I need a power within me that keeps me from doing wrong things. I need help. I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I really can't do it. And when I decide not to do bad, then I do it anyway. My decisions don't result in better actions. Something gets the better of me every time, and it happens so regularly that it's predictable. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me?" Anybody got any idea who wrote that letter? The Apostle Paul, that's exactly right. Book of Romans, in a modern translation. You ever felt like Paul? He says, "The good that I would do, I don't do. The bad that I wouldn't do, that's what I wind up doing." I have felt like that sometimes in my life. But the good news is that Paul found another truth about temptation that he shared right here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And notice that he talks about a way to deal with temptation. He talks about a way of escape. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And rest assured, there's always a way of escape from a temptation. So I want to talk about this a little bit this morning. I want to talk about how to deal with temptation from God's Word. And there's several things I want you to understand about it. Several things to do. Number one, anticipate it. Just know that it's going to come. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't be shocked by it. Instead, be prepared for it. Now let me give you a word of clarification here, and please understand that it's not a sin to be tempted. Sometimes people feel guilty when they come into a temptation and, you know, they just feel guilty. Maybe they feel like they've already done something wrong. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ Himself was tempted. In fact, the Bible says He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And so it's not a sin to be tempted. And I want you to listen. Somebody has said you can be walking outside and you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. And you can't stop the devil from bombarding your mind sometimes with ideas, but you don't have to yield to that. You don't have to dwell on those ideas or act on them. And so it's not a sin to be tempted, and you'll never outgrow temptation. That's just a part of being human. You're never going to get to the place in your life where you're not tempted in some fashion. And you're not tempted because you're evil. You're tempted because you're human. So welcome to the human race. You see, the moment you give your life to Christ, the moment you become a Christian, the devil, like a Chicago hitman, puts a contract on your life. He plots and schemes 24 hours a day for your downfall, and he starts looking for some weakness in your life to cause you to slip up and to fail. And just know that the devil knows what your weaknesses are. But instead of being shocked or surprised when the devil sends some temptation your way, you need to be prepared for it. Jesus said one time, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." In other words, be prepared. Watch out. Be ready for it. And we're all different, and we have to be ready at various points. You know, I look at you in this room, and I think about my life too, and some of us are most tempted when we get bored. And some of us are most tempted when we're lonely or tired or under stress. Or some of us are tempted when we kind of achieve some kind of success. And others are tempted when they're with friends, and it can vary from time to time, but we've got to be prepared for it whenever it comes. And it can sometimes be the little things instead of the big things that get you. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know if you've ever heard of Bobby Leach or not. Bobby Leach is the daredevil who decided he would go over Niagara Falls in an orange crate. Now, a lot of people have gone over Niagara Falls. Most of them didn't survive. He went over Niagara Falls in an orange crate, and he survived. But a few years later, he slipped on an orange peel and broke his leg. Now, what's your point, Preacher Mike? It's sometimes the little things that can make you fall. So be careful. Be prepared. Anticipate temptation, number one, when it comes. Then number two, accept responsibility for temptation. I mean, don't blame God for it. Don't blame other people for it. Anybody in here remember the old comedian Flip Wilson? Y'all remember him? And what did he say? "The devil made me do it." Well, let me tell you what. That's Flip Wilson, but that's not the Bible. James 1:14 says, "Everybody is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed." Our temptations many times come from within us. You see, if we had no internal desire for a thing, it couldn't tempt us. And so we need to accept responsibility for these temptations that come from within us. I know how it is today. Today is a day of irresponsibility. Nobody wants to admit that their problems are their own fault. There was a book several years ago written entitled A Nation of Victims, and the Bible talks about, or rather, the book talks about how in America we've all become victims. No problem you have is ever considered your fault anymore. It's always the fault of somebody else. You know, it's the government. It's the government's fault. Or it's my parents. It's the way I was raised. That's why I am the way I am today. It's my parents' fault. Or it's the school's fault. Or it's in my genes. It's the way I'm made. Or it's our environment or something or somebody else. You know, you ever notice that? Nobody takes responsibility anymore. But you know what? If you think about it, most of my problems are problems I brought on myself. And most of the problems you have are problems that you brought on yourself. And we need to just man up and accept responsibility for it. I mean, listen, if you have some temptation in your life right now, some hang up, some hurt, you will never find freedom from it until you stop blaming everybody else and start dealing with it yourself. It is your responsibility, so deal with it. Stop fixing the blame and start fixing the problem, somebody might say. Sometimes people even try to blame God for their temptation. They say, "Well, God made me this way." I've had men tell me, "Well, Preacher Mike, I'm just a red-blooded American guy." And I have to tell them, "No, you're not. You're just trying to make an excuse for your wrong actions." You take the bull by the horns, and you deal with that thing in your life. Accept responsibility for the temptations that come from within you, and you are going to need some help to do that. So that leads me to the next thing. Number three, ask God for help. I mean, whenever you run into a temptation, ask God for help. He's got a 24-hour hotline. You know what that's called? Prayer. Pray. I mean, call on Him anytime. He's willing and waiting to help you in time of temptation. But many times, we don't ask Him for help. Now, I wonder why that is. Well, I know why it is. Sometimes we don't want help. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes, deep down inside, we want to give in to the temptation. We know it's wrong. We know it's bad. We know we're going to pay for it, that there will be a kickback from it, but we want to do the thing anyway, and we're not about to ask God for help because, well, we really want this thing. And then there may be times when we would like to ask for God's help, but we don't ask because we're embarrassed. Because we just came to Him last week about this same problem and the week before that, and so we don't want to come back to God and say, God, it's me again. Same thing. We keep falling, and so after a while we get embarrassed with that. He's already helped us, and here we are falling again in the same area. But now let me say this. Don't ever be embarrassed to ask God for help. I mean, His patience is great. He has great understanding and compassion. He never gets bored, never gets impatient. He never gets irritated when you sincerely come to Him and ask for His help. God, it's me again. Have you ever had to do that? Maybe I'm the only one in here. I come to God and I just say, God, I blew it again. This is the 50th time this week or whatever. I mean, if you sincerely ask God for His help, He's willing to help you. Now, why does God want you to come to Him with your prayers for help? Well, I think He wants us to come because, well, think about it. He sent His Son Christ into the world. And the Bible says that Jesus went through everything that I go through and He understands my situation. In other words, we have a sympathetic Father. He knows what we're going through, Hebrews 4. For we have not an high priest, talking about Jesus. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. You hear that word? Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I like that word boldly. Without any hesitation, without any embarrassment, you come back to the Lord. He knows what you're going through. He had the same temptations. That blows a lot of people's mind to think about when Jesus was on earth. That He had the same temptations that we have, and He can sympathize with me. He can help me find a way of escape in my time of temptation. He can show me a way through. Look back at our text, 1 Corinthians 10:13. What did that verse say? It says down there that He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also to make a way of a what? Escape. That's right. You go back to the Greek of this particular verse. This verse was written in Greek. And you study the Greek words, and it gives you kind of a mental picture. And here's some guy down in the middle of a valley, and he's got these mountains all around him, and his enemy has come against him. All these soldiers are surrounding him, and he's down in this valley, and they're about to swoop down upon him. And then all of a sudden he sees a little place in the mountains, a little gap in the mountains, a way of escape. And he can get out of it. And that's the idea down here in this verse. It's a word picture. And sometimes I feel so stressed and I feel surrounded by all these temptations, but there is always a way of escape if I'll look for it. Now many of us get into trouble with temptation because, well, you know, we think, well, I've got enough willpower to get me through this thing. But let me tell you what, there's not a person in this room that's got enough willpower to deal with some of the temptations that come. Sooner or later, willpower gives out. And it might work for a little while, but sooner or later, under the right amount of pressure, you'll give in. And so you need help. And I need God to help me. I need to call on God for help. I need extra help. God says in Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. How many of y'all have a microwave at the house? Got a microwave? Most of us do. I think my mother's the only one that doesn't have one. And what do? I get up in the morning and I'll microwave something in the oven, maybe the oatmeal or what. Why? Because, well, it's quick. You know, you want it in a hurry. That's the way all of our lives are. We want it right now. Did you know that you can pray a microwave prayer? You know what a microwave prayer is? A microwave prayer is when something happens and you just say, "Oh God, you know, God help me. Lord, here it is. I need your help." And so you send up this microwave prayer. Here's some young man walking down the beach, and he sees a commotion down the beach, and Sports Illustrated is filming their swimwear edition. You know, and that's the idea. "Oh Lord, help me, Lord." You understand what I'm saying? I mean, let's just get down to where we live. That's what this is. It's time for one of those prayers, and you just right off the bat, you ain't got time to close your eyes, fold your hands, bow on your knees. You just say, "God, here it is. Help me." Well, that's what you do. You ask God to help you. You need some supernatural help to help you with temptation. Then number four, if you're going to deal with temptation, you're going to have to learn to avoid tempting situations. All I mean by that is just simply stay away from places and situations that tempt you. In other words, if I can put it in a local vernacular, if you don't want to get stung, stay away from the... All right, if you don't want to get burned, stay away from the... If you don't want to fall off a cliff, stay away from the... edge. That's exactly right. I heard about this man... A very well-to-do man, an older man, senior adult man. Very wealthy man. And he was going to employ a driver to drive him around. But he wanted a safe driver. And so he would interview these different drivers who would come in, and he would take them to a place not far from his house. And there was this steep cliff. And the road kind of went around like this, around that cliff. And if you kept going straight, you'd go off that cliff. And he asked the first guy, he said, "How would you handle that cliff? What could you do? How close to that cliff would you come before you turned away?" He said, "I could come within 2 feet of it and be fine." Another guy come along, he interviewed him, and he said, "How close would you get to that cliff?" And in his bravado, he said, "I could get within 6 inches and not go over that thing." Third guy come along, and he said to him, "How close would you get to that cliff driving me around this bend?" He said, "I wouldn't get close to it at all. I'd stay away from it." You're hired. Now, what's my point there? My point down there is stay away from people, places, situations where you might be tempted with some wrong, where you can get into trouble. Don't even get close to it. The goal is not how close to the temptation you can get and not get burned. The goal is how far away from it you can keep away. Now let me give you a Bible verse, Proverbs 14:16. "A wise man turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." A fool thinks he can handle it. I've had people tell me, "Preacher, I can handle my liquor." And I say, "Who are you kidding? You don't go to bars just to eat pretzels." Stay away from situations that might tempt you. You need to analyze when and where you're most tempted and most vulnerable, and stay away from those areas. Where are you most tempted? Are you tempted when you cut on the internet? Is that when you're most tempted? When you turn on the television? When you're around a certain group of people? When you walk into certain establishments? When you're alone? You need to stay away from people, places, situations that cause you a problem. Psalms 119:59. "I thought about the wrong direction in which I was headed and turned around and came running back to you, God." Y'all remember Joseph in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis? And you remember that his superior Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, seduced him. And the Bible says that he pulled away from her and he ran. He fled. You know, I've got some preacher friends that are so stupid that would have wanted to pray with Miss Potiphar. And they'd say, "Miss Potiphar, let's just bow down here and pray about this matter." Listen, there's sometimes you don't need to pray, friend. If you're tempted with alcohol and somebody puts a beer bottle in front of you, you don't need to look at that bottle and you don't need to rationalize the thing. You need to run. See, you need to get away from that. I mean, it's not the time to try to counsel somebody or pray with somebody. It's time to throw up one of those microwave prayers to God for help and then run for all you're worth. I mean, when you're tempted, folks, you deal with it right away. Get out of the situation immediately. Get up and change the channel. Go for a walk. Start reading your Bible. Call a friend in your support group. Leave the group that's trying to do wrong or about to do wrong and go home. Call Daddy if you have to. You know, these little girls go on these dates, and these little boys, you know, they got these hormones flowing. And you know, they start putting stress and strain on the little girl to do things maybe she doesn't want to do. I tell girls to go on these dates, go with your Bible. Take your Bible, stick it between you and the boy. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John between the two of you. And call Daddy. But do something to break the spell. Change your focus. And let me give you a little practical advice. Don't ever try to out-argue the devil. Because you'll lose every time. He's had thousands of years to think up things to counter anything you're going to say. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. When temptation calls you on the phone, drop the receiver. And avoid the situation at all cost. It may not appear to be manly to run away, but you do it anyway. Protect yourself. Avoid the situation." Then number 5, affirm God's Word. In dealing with temptation, affirm God's Word. Now, you can have a big Bible on the coffee table at your home, but what good is that to you if you're tempted with something at work or somewhere else? I mean, you need to somehow get the truth of God's Word into your mind and into your heart. Without a doubt, the single most effective tool to combat temptation is to memorize Scripture. If you have a problem with worry, you ought to memorize Philippians 4:6-8. If you have a problem with resisting temptation or something like that, then memorize Philippians 4:13. With any temptation that may come to you, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Well, if you don't have any verses memorized, you don't have any bullets in your gun. In that scripture that tells us about the time when Jesus was tempted, you remember when Jesus was tempted? The Bible says He turned around and quoted Scripture back to the devil. So get the Scripture into your heart. Every time you read the Bible and you find a verse that means something to you, you ought to write that down and you ought to get that Scripture in your heart. And I'm going to say something that you're going to, most likely you're not going to want to do, and that's going to be a bad mistake if you don't do it. You need to memorize some Scripture. You might take a verse a week. Write it down on an index card you can carry in your pocket all week long. You take that thing out of your pocket, you read it, and work on memorizing that, and then next week you get you another verse and do that same way with that verse and review the verses in the past, and you just memorize Scripture. Get that Scripture down in your heart, and the more you do that, the more you'll get filled with God's Word, and when something happens in your life, you're going to be surprised how those verses will come to mind. Now, it wasn't a temptation in my case. It has been some temptations where that's happened. But I had a cousin who developed breast cancer in her late 20s. She had 2 small children, and she died. And I remember when Dana died, I remember when my mother called me on the phone, and she told me about Dana's death. We'd been praying for her for weeks and months. And she died. And I mean, you know, a young mother in her late 20s. And that bothered me. And then all of a sudden, from somewhere, I remembered a verse. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us." That just came floating to my memory. Kind of like those little toy balls, 8 balls, and you ask it a question and you turn it over and that answer comes floating to the top. That's what happened. That's what happens in temptation when you're tempted. If you've got God's Word in your heart, there will be verses that will come to mind that will help you in those times of temptation. Now, I know what you're saying. Somebody says, and usually it's the older folks that say this, "Well, I can't memorize." Listen, you memorize what you're interested in. You know, some people say they can't memorize, but they'll give you 100 different phone numbers. Some people say they can't memorize, but they'll tell you what the statistics of the 1927 New York Yankees were. Or they'll give you all these stock quotes. I mean, if you're interested in God's Word, you can memorize that. And listen, 1 year from today, how many Bible verses are you going to have committed to memory? None if you don't work at it. And you've got to study your Word. You've got to get the Word of God in your heart so that when you're tempted, these verses are there that come to mind that help you avoid the situation. Well, how are we going to deal with temptation? Number six, we're going to activate resistance against the devil. Now, let me give you this verse. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You reject the devil when he comes to you with some kind of temptation and you put him away. You see, the devil is constantly, now get this, now you need to get this. He's constantly battling for your mind. That's where all temptation takes place, right there in your mind. That's where the battle happens. And you choose every day which thoughts you're going to dwell on. Good thoughts or bad thoughts? God's thoughts or the devil's thoughts? And so you resist the devil. Now get this, not the temptation, but the guy behind the temptation. You tell the devil to take a hike and you resist the devil. You say, well, Preacher Mike, how can I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you three things that are going to happen when temptation comes. Number one, there is a tension. Something gets your attention. If it gets your attention, you're tempted by it. If it doesn't get your attention, you're not going to be tempted by it at all. So it always starts with getting your attention. Number two is arousal. That's where your emotions kick in and all of a sudden you say, I've got to have that thing. You're on a diet and somebody pulls out a big piece of chocolate cake. For my wife, that is a devastating temptation. She loves chocolate. By the way, we got one back here in the office. For vacation Bible school tonight. There's a big hunk out of it about this big, but you know, there it is, and it gets your attention, and it arouses you. You say, I've got to have that. And then number three, there is action, and you take action to fall for the temptation. The thought becomes the father of the deed. Now, here's the key. The next time you're tempted, don't fight it. The next time you're tempted, don't fight it. Simply turn your attention to something else. It's that simple. You turn your attention to something else. You shift your thoughts. You change your mind. You refocus your thoughts, since this is where all temptation begins. Now in Ephesians 6, the Bible says that we are involved in spiritual warfare. Every person is involved in spiritual warfare. And the Bible says there are pieces of equipment that God provides to help us in this warfare. Now I don't have time to talk about all of those. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, accept salvation from God to be your helmet and receive the Word of God to use as your sword. Did you hear that verse? The Bible says you need a helmet. The Bible says you need a sword. The sword is the Word of God, which we've already talked about. But the other thing you need to help you with temptation is that helmet of salvation. Now, what does that helmet do, Preacher Mike? It protects your brain, protects your mind. Sometimes you'll see people who ride motorcycles, sometimes they'll wear a helmet, if they're smart they will, to protect their brain, to protect their head, see? It protects your brain and your mind, and remember that I said that temptation always begins where? Right up here, in your mind. So you need a helmet to keep those ideas under control that comes to your mind. Your mind is constantly running. All the day long, there are ideas coming into your mind. And you need a helmet to keep those ideas under control. And the Bible says that helmet is what? Salvation. Now, let me say this. You may know about Jesus Christ. Sometimes I ask people, do you know Christ? They say, well, I know Christ. And I ask them, well, do you know Him personally? Well, I know that He was the Son of God. They just know about Him. and you know about Christ, but if you don't know Him in a personal way, if you've never made a personal commitment to Him, you are defenseless against the devil. He's going to whip you every time. There's nothing you can do to stop the thoughts he wants to put into your mind from just hibernating there. You have no protection at all if you're not a believer. That's why you need the helmet of salvation. It's where you let the Lord come into your life and clean out your mind and take over control. And you give Him control of your mind and your heart and let Him start controlling some of those thoughts that come into your mind. Now the question is this. Have you ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you let Him come into your heart and begin to transform and renew your mind? Do you know the Lord in your life so that you can deal with the temptations when they come? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and the musicians are going to come, and we're going to sing an invitation hymn in just a moment. But the invitation, first of all, is that if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to give your life to Him so that you have that outside help with temptation when it comes. And you can accept Christ by just bowing your head and in a spirit of prayer and with all the sincerity of your heart. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and to help you to turn from them and trust Him by faith. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you'll be saved the moment you ask Christ to come into your heart. And you'll have a new power within you to help you deal with life and temptations when they come. You need to accept Christ, or maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ as a believer. Somehow you've gotten away from the Lord. Or maybe you're here today as a visitor and God has led you to this place of service. Maybe you need to move your membership today, or maybe you need to come for prayer today about some need. But however God speaks to your heart, in a moment when we sing this invitation hymn, you come and do what God would have you do. Father, I really do thank You so much for the practicality of Scripture. Thank You so much, Lord, that Your Word teaches us how to deal with temptation. Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to do it. I pray that there's somebody here today who's not been saved. I pray that they would accept Christ today. I pray if there's some other spiritual decision, if there's some other decision that needs to be made, that individuals will do that. But Lord, I pray that You'd move across this room and have Your will and Your way in all of our lives, and we'll thank You for all that You do for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.